This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
3CR would like to acknowledge the Kulin Nation, true owners, caretakers and custodians of the land from which we broadcast. 3CR pays respect to elders past and present of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their unceded sovereignty.
This is 3CR Breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Alternative news, analysis, and current affairs. Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m.
Only double.
Clap your hands.
Good morning, listeners. You're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show on 3CR. 8:55 a.m. on the dial. It's just me, Hannah, in the studio. Rob is taking the week off because they've been holding it down for the last month. You may ask, where have I been? Did you miss me? Maybe you didn't notice. That's totally cool as well. Today's show is gonna kind of be about where I've been for the last month. We're going to be playing some speeches from out the front of the gates of Pine Gap from last Monday. We'll be hearing Felicity Hayes reading a letter that she gave to Pine Gap, being the traditional owner of the country that Pine Gap is on. And we'll also be hearing the Hayes family speak about what happened when they passed over that letter. And then we'll be hearing a few more speeches from out the front from Green Senate David Shoebridge, Palestinian activist Rima Nahi, two nurses from the MUA union, and a speech from First Nations activist Desmond Blurton. And then after that, we are going to be listening to, on the way to Pine Gap, the Art of Resistance tour drove in a convoy across the desert to protest militarism and extractivism. And we're going to be hearing some audio from outside Wellfield A on sacred Arabana country in South Australia, where they shed light on the impacts that this bore field has on one of the largest uranium mines in the Southern Hemisphere, BHP's Olympic Dam mine, which is located in Roxby Downs. And then after that, we'll be hearing activists protesting out the front of BHP's Olympic Dam mine in Roxby Downs. And then we're going to finish off the show with two segments from one of the panels that was at the Close Pine Gap Convergence. The panel was about colonization and imperialism. And at the end of the show, we might be joined by an activist who was also on the Art of Resistance tour with us, telling us about their experience on the Art of Resistance tour and also the other activism that they do out in the forest. So yeah, pretty chock-a-block show. Stay tuned for headlines.
Some folks know about it, some don't. Some will learn to shout it, some won't. But sooner or later, baby, here's a ditty. Say you're gonna have to get right down to the real nitty. Double beating.
These are the news headlines for Monday, the 27th of July. The Whitsunday Conservation Council has criticised the Queensland Government's State Development and Public Works Organisation Critical Minerals and Other Legislation Amendment Bill 2026, warning it would weaken environmental protections, reduce transparency, and limit community participation in major project approvals. President of the Whitsunday Conservation Council, Tony Fontes, said, quote, "This bill continues the steady erosion of Queensland's environmental protections at precisely the time that they should be strengthened." Tony Fontes also added, quote, "Environmental laws are not red tape. They are safeguards that ensure major developments are assessed transparently, independently, and on the basis of science." The council says Queensland can support critical mineral development without compromising biodiversity or public accountability, and is urging MPs to reject the bill. Tony Fontes said, quote, "The Great Barrier Reef, our World Heritage areas, and threatened species deserve stronger protection, not weaker laws that prioritize speed over good decision-making." He also added, quote, "Future generations will judge this legislation not by how quickly projects were approved, but by whether Queensland chose to protect the natural environment that defines our state and supports our economy," end quote. Also in news this week, India's Education Minister Dharmendra Pradhan resigned after a week of nationwide protests over an exam leak scandal, marking the first time in Prime Minister Narendra Modi 12 years in office that a cabinet minister stepped down due to public pressure. In his resignation statement, Pradhan said he respected the concerns of young people, saying, quote, "I deeply respect the aspirations, feelings, and legitimate expectations for our country's youth, of the country's youth," end quote. The protest led by the newly formed Cockroach Janata Party, CJP, called for accountability over the scandal which affected millions of students and sparked widespread public outrage. Following the resignation, CJP described the outcome as a victory for democracy, but stressed the movement would continue to push for broader education reforms. Addressing supporters in Delhi, CJP founder Abhijit Dibke said, quote, "We have done it," end quote, while reminding protesters that the resignation was, quote, "just the beginning." Thousands celebrated the announcement, viewing it as a historic moment that demonstrated the power of peaceful public action and increased government accountability. These have been the news headlines for Monday, the 27th of July, and you're listening to 3CR on 855 AM.
This deal really accentuates and is very complementary to the White Australia domestic policy. Here you have not only a white alliance, but an Anglo-Saxon alliance of the ultimate cultural allies of the United States banding together, and the significance that it is aimed at colored peoples, at Asian peoples, at Pacific peoples. This is injecting a horrible racial dimension to this conflict. So I think the US and Australian elites' racist military policies are complementing the increasingly racist domestic policies. So I think, therefore, we really have to look out very, very carefully at this very dangerous synergy between racism on the military front and racism on the domestic front.
Subscribe to 3CR. Where else can you hear radical news, analysis, music, and opinions? Go to 3cr.org.au/subscribe or call the station on 03 9419 8377.
3CR would like to thank our sponsors, Earth Greetings. Cards that connect, care, and celebrate. Support wildlife and habitat with every purchase. Inspired by nature, giving back to the planet. Learn more at earthgreetings.com.au.
You're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show on 3CR. And first up on the show, we're going to be listening back to the Pine Gap Convergence protest. The traditional owners of the land of Kuyunba, the Hayes family, gave a letter to Pine Gap. We're about to hear Arente Elder Felicity Hayes reading the letter that they gave from outside the gates of Pine Gap from last Monday. Stay tuned.
Wada Arignan Ganai Arignatin Flesrie Sangala Angala Angala is a this is the this is our traditional land, and Angala is our skin name. This is my grandfather's skin name too. We are under traditional owners for Kuyunba, the land Pine Cap occupies, want the Australian government and the Australian people don't know that there was never consent for the Australian government and the US government to put the base on our sacred land. Our old people were working on their country until the base took over. Our elders, the elders of this country, did not know anything about Pine Gap. They didn't know why it was put there. They didn't know what it was used for. They were never told. The Australian government just came and took over the land. The Australian government didn't know who was responsible for that country. They didn't know it was Hayes family's country. They didn't know there were song lines. They didn't know it was a sacred place. They just went and marked the place up, put the pegs down, and started digging underground. They weren't interested in finding out who was the owners of the country were.
Shame.
Our grandparents used to tell us stories, and we know these stories. This place is so sacred, it's not a base. It's not, the prison is where I, and just, you know, like, yeah, the prison where our young people are locked up, even the power station, that's all on our sacred country. They never asked for permission to put any of these facilities there. All of this country is very special to us. It's part of our traditional well-being and part of our life. It's our country. The government needs to know that this place is sacred, and we're going to Pine Gap to be closed down. Since the base was built, we've been locked out of our own sacred land. We can't go there with our family to have a look at the paintings and rock hard. We are suffering because we can't take our next generation to feel. Generation, yeah. We feel homeless in our own country. We feel sorry for the families around the world whose lives have been taken away by that base. We don't want to be feeling guilty all the time when there's bad things happening overseas to little ones. We're not the ones controlling the facility, but we feel guilty that it's coming from our land. We feel sorry for the little ones, the families, men, women, children, and old people overseas in Gaza and other places who are getting killed by that base. We are there for these people around the world, these families around the world. We want them to know that when they come to Central Australia, to Australia, and to Alice Springs, they are coming to a place of harmony. We want these people to come and live on our land without being scared of what might happen if the base gets attacked. We demand the land back that's been taken from us. We want to be able to occupy our own land. We want our next generation to be working on the land. We want jobs for our young people as rangers, as teachers, you know, so they can look after country and our sacred site. The base should be removed. It needs to be closed because it's a danger to our land and to our people. It's causing a lot of worries, a lot of sadness for us and people around the world who are being affected by war. We want to be compensated for all the years the base has occupied our sacred land without our consent. We need that money so we can get houses where we live at Whitegate community. There's not enough houses in that community. We are struggling. We have been struggling for a long time, for years. That the families in Gaza to be compensated for all the lives lost there. At the moment, they are living in poverty, starving and drinking dirty water. Their lives are at risk from the Hayes family.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Do a bit of disrupting and cause a bit of ruckus in the colony.
Always was, always will be.
Not celebrate Australia, but instead pay homage to the resistance of First Nations people against this illegal colonial occupation.
3CR, your station, your voice.
This country's black future is a fire.
Before that CSA, we were just listening to Felicity Hayes reading the letter that her family gave to Pine Gap last Monday. We're going to be continuing to listen to the audio from that day from outside the gates of Pine Gap, and we're about to hear the Hayes family telling us what happened when they entered the gates of Pine Gap and presented them their letter. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. I went and took a letter to the police officers, the commissioner. I took a letter that saying that I want my land back, and the base is built on our sacred land. It's been happening since 1962. That was when I was a little two-year-old baby. They took my grandfather and, with no consent, they took his land away without explaining to him.
Shame.
Shame. Yes. Shame on Australia and shame on America.
Shame.
They went and took my grandfather, asking him a lot of things which he didn't understand. Yeah, my grandfather was a drover. He didn't know how to speak English. It was like terms for Australian First Nations people, or as they used to call it, Aboriginal people, was yes and no, with no explanation for anybody. Even all over Australia, everybody didn't know English, except their first language. But our old people, they talked many languages when they walked across Australia. So today, I talked to them in my language, Aranda, that I want my Pumara back. My China, Pumara Maga, my country is a sacred place. It's a sacred place for me and my families, and for everybody in Australia. So today, I wanted to tell them that we don't want Pine Cap to ever exist on our land.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Yeah, move them
out. Close Pine Gap, and give our land back. Give our land back. We look after land more than what you do. We look after our land, our hills, our water. And look what happened to when the pastures came. They destroyed our plant food. And yet we can't show our little children, the next generation, how our old people survived in the desert in Central Australia. So so we want our land back. Let it open to be for our education. We're going to teach your children about the land, the trees, the skies, the birds, the animals. We want our land back. We want to use it for our education for our children and make money for our young people rather than being put away in prison for stealing a car. Stealing a car, going into somebody's houses. You know, people are hungry. That is why they are doing it. Because there is nothing happening in Alice Springs for our children. Close the base, because what it's doing is destroying other people's country and killing of people, you know, children and young people and old people as well. So we want this base to close because it's causing us a lot of sadness. It's causing us a lot of sadness from here in Central Australia, around the country. Destroying everybody's land. We should all live in peace, you know.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Thank you. I was here in back in the 80s. I'm not going to tell you guys how old I am, but back in 83, I was here marching with the elders and stood and walked beside elders of this country. They are no longer with us today, and may they rest in peace. I'm here today to stand with elders here that are still standing, still owners for this country, standing here beside my niece, which she is a descendant of the old people that Felicity had already just talked about. What's going on around the world? We are being affected by First Nations people here in Alice Springs. We are affected by what's behind those gates and what's been happening across the world. And we don't want to be part of anybody's trouble. We just want to live freely, be on our country, protect our sacred sites in this area. And for over 30 years, our traditional owners for this country has never been compensated for the occupying of Americans on this country. So they deserve the compensation that they need. And I hope that that letter that was delivered this morning will reach far and wide. So it should be a good idea that you read the letter. So, Felicia, have we got a hard copy?
We handed it over to them.
We gave a copy over there to the fence. I just hope that they don't put it in the incinerator or whatever and burn it, because we got multiple copies that we can send right across the world or right around the country. Yeah. But I hope the senior federal police officer does the right thing and does what the traditional owners have requested of the letter.
He's going to go and give it to his superior boss, and he also said that he doesn't want like a disturbance or something, but he was saying that he was here 30 years ago, but he's been working for 30 years. And what about my family? We lived here forever. This is our land. We lived here forever. Yes. My family's walked this earth for a lifetime. They walked across this land, did sacred dances, lived on sacred country forever. But he said that he's going to give the letter to the chief. Yes.
To address us, only the senior staff of the federal police officers, and I think that was pretty disgusting and appalling that they... No staff came out to see the traditional owners of this country.
They had a drone was up in the sky.
Did
just wanted to let the Americans know and people around the world, we are here with them. And thank you for your support, far and wide. And we stand with you. And you stand with you, and we stand with you, stand with us. Thank you for coming long way to our sacred place to support us. And just wanted to let them know that we are the next generation, and we are still standing here today. Queen Mr. Sacred Grand. We want the Pine Gap shut down. We want the country back. Give it our land back. Thank you.
3CR, stay tuned, stay radical.
We demand the full restoration of all Indigenous lands and resources, and we demand the immediate cessation of all forms of exploitation and destruction of our lands.
We're here to remind you of our sovereignty and our original demand from day one.
It started with intentional genocide of our people around the round table in England. It's all lies here. Everything's a lie. It's a great opportunity right now. Step into a sovereign, independent republic.
We demand a treaty. We demand our lands back. We demand to stop black deaths in custody.
You're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show on 3CR 855 AM. We were just listening to the Hayes family talking about what happened when they gave the letter to Pine Gap last Monday. You can financially support the Hayes family. They're getting their electricity cut off if they don't reach their $500 electricity bill. You can donate to BSB 065900, and the account number is 10805761, and the name is Felicity Hayes. We're going to be continuing the audio from the Close Pine Gap Convergence protest from outside the gates last Monday. We're about to hear a few more speeches from Green Senate David Shoebridge, Palestinian activist Rima Naji, two nurses from the MUA union giving a message from Paul Keating, the Maritime Union Sydney branch, and then finish off the segment we hear from First Nations activist Desmond Blurton. Stay tuned.
I want to say there was an amazing strength in standing beside and behind two First Nations proud women, supported by their family, the Hayes family. And you could see from the AFP and you could see from the police that they didn't know what to do with the culture and the strength and the history of the Hayes family. They walked up. And the when the AFP officer came forward and issued a welcome, it didn't feel quite right. And then when he spoke about his 30 years working here, I've got to tell you the power of Aunty Felicity, the Hayes mob, to say 30 years. The thousands and thousands of years of continuous history and occupation that has not been wiped away by this base since 1962. This base and the police, they have very shallow roots on this ground. Very shallow roots on this ground. But the Arrernte people, they've got deep roots going right into this soil, right into this ground. And you could see in that moment of exchange, who is going to resist and win this struggle. And it'll be peace. It'll be First Nations peoples. It'll be Arrernte people. And that's the message that aren't delivered today. A message of power and strength and history and culture. And they got it loud and clear. Yes. And I'll finish by saying this. When you all come here, and you've come from all over the country, you've come from, you know, down in over in Gadigal land, all across this country, you came to deliver your strength too. And so I want to thank you all for coming and showing that solidarity and strength. Because what's happening here today is the real spirit of this country. It's not over there with that US flag. It's not over there with police. So let's remember this land always was and always will be. Thank you.
Thank you all. My name is Rimah Naji. I'm also Palestinian, and I am based in Maganja in Brisbane. It is an incredible honor to stand with you, Aunty Felicity. I will be with you until you lands back. Until you lands back, we will stand with you, behind you, led and guided by the First Nations peoples of this country, because I would also like my land back. Fully. I would like my land back as well, and I would like freedom for the Palestinian people from the river to the sea. I'm told that we're not allowed to take pictures of this facility. I'm told we're not allowed to sketch it. And who needs to do that when we see the crimes that are a result of this facility? I don't need to see this facility because I see their crimes. I see them in the children. I see them in the bombs. In the hospitals and schools that are decimated, I see them, an entire nation getting wiped off the civil registry. We have seen the crimes, and we will not stop advocating for Palestine, will not stop advocating for First Nation people's justice. And as much as I want my land back, and I would also like accountability, land back alone is not enough. We need accountability, and every single person responsible for the crimes that are committed as a result of this facility needs to be prosecuted, each one of them. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Oh, yeah. We're two nurses, and we're part of a wave of nurses and midwives around the country right now who are fighting off the repressive IHRA definition, which conflates anti-Semitism with criticism of Israel, and all healthcare workers need to defy this collectively and remain free to criticize what's happening here, what our government is doing, and what Israel is doing to people. So we have a message to read from the Maritime Union Australia Sydney branch, from Paul Keating on behalf of the branch. Peace is union business. The Maritime Union of Australia Sydney branch sends our congratulations and solidarity to all protesters currently converging outside the Pine Gap spy base on Arrernte lands, and joins your calls to end militarization and the drive to war, end the US alliance and Australia's support for Israel's genocide, and give sacred land back to its rightful owners. The MUA has always stood for peace, internationalism and justice. Maritime workers opposed conscription in the First World War. We refused to send arms and munition during the Vietnam War. We boycotted oil bound for apartheid South Africa. And we demanded an end to apartheid conditions imposed on First Nations peoples right here in the Northern Territory. It is deeply disturbing that intelligence coming out of Pine Gap could be going directly to Israel as it continues its genocide on the peoples of Palestine. Albanese and the Labor government need to break ties with Israel. The MUA supports the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement to end international support for Israel's oppression of Palestinians. A base on land stolen from First Nations peoples here is contributing to the slaughter of First Nations peoples abroad. This must end. We stand against genocide and apartheid and for the liberation of the Palestinian people.
The MUA opposes AUKUS and our opposition to nuclear-powered attack submarines as part of a military alliance with the US and the UK. Maritime workers do not want unsafe and provocative nuclear submarine stations stationed in their ports. In a cost of living crisis, the Labor government is pouring money into warfare. These hundreds of billions of dollars could be going towards free health, dental and PBS, NDIS, free childcare, abolishment of the HECS for students in higher education, building a state-owned merchant shipping fleet and creating jobs for seafarers, building nationwide public housing, indexing job seeker payments and pensions to the average working wage, paying public servants above inflation wages at a time when services are stretched to limits, and building state-owned renewable energy and offshore wind turbines to create sustainable jobs and prevent runaway climate change. Warfare is never in the interests of the working class. The working class pay the costs, often with their lives. When the US attacked Iran, we saw how quickly ordinary people paid the costs in increased fuel prices around the world. Seafarers stuck in the Strait of Hormuz feared for their safety. As the world moves closer than ever to the catastrophic warfare, your convergence is a timely reminder that the fight for peace is everyone's business. Unions have a critical role to play, and we stand with you.
Yes, hello. I stand with aunties here, the family, and me from my nation, Bilbaman Nation. I refer to my fellow tribal people as the owners of these lands. There's nothing traditional about our people. The owners. And I would like to send a message from my nation, and I just wanted to finish it off, please. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Desmond Blurton. I'm from Desmond Cussie Watch Committee in Western Australia, and I'm a climate activist who travel around these sacred tribal lands to stand with mob, to fight for land. Never be scared of their laws, because we have the strength. It's our land and our law here. My thoughts go to the children of the Palestine and the victims of genocide in the Middle East, including Iran, Jordan, Ukraine, and all countries where there's conflict. Our stolen children who are taken, ripped from mothers' and fathers' arms every day from corrupt departments with their corrupt laws. Have been subjected to unfettered rules and laws designed to colonize our sacred tribal lands and keep our people impoverished. The laws are corrupt, but our families are strong. You have massacred us, but we are family. And give the original name back to the people. Not Pine Gap, it is called Buyenbai. Give it back. It does not belong to you. You may have been there for 30 years. You still didn't even do nothing in that 30 years. We condemn your government, and with your people, we will continue to resist genocide. The genocide must stop, and stop it now. Thank you very much.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the apartheid-free zone movement.
You're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show. We were just listening to some speeches from outside Pine Gap last Monday. Pine Gap is a US and Australian spy base which is gathering global information for the US military. It is located in the Northern Territory near Mpantwe, or so-called Alice Springs. We were just listening to speeches from Green Senate David Shoebridge, Palestinian activist Rima Naji, two nurses from the MUA Union giving a message from Paul Keating from the Maritime Union Sydney branch, and it finished off with a speech from First Nations activist Desmond Blurton. On the way to the Close Pine Gap Convergence, the Art of Resistance Tour drove in a convoy across the desert to protest militarism and extractivism. On the 6th of July, they went to Wellfield A on sacred Arabana country in South Australia to shed light on the impacts this borefield has on one of the largest uranium mines in the Southern Hemisphere. BHP Olympic Dam Mine extracts more than 4 million litres of water a day from Borefield A and 29 million litres a day from Borefield B from sacred mound springs on Arabana country. To supply BHP's Olympic Dam Mine, which is located on sacred Kukatha country. Borefield A was set to close. Environmental activists found this as a major win for the campaign to protect the sacred mound springs. The proposed closure of Borefield A changed due to the amendment of the Indenture Amendment Bill 2026, which was signed in May. It was intended to update the four-decade-long framework which governed the Olympic Dam Mine. South Australia Premier Peter Malinauskas said the indenture would, quote, enable better integration of the existing copper production while establishing a clearer pathway for negotiations for future expansions, end quote. Wellfield A is now remaining open. This borefield is one of the two in the area that is taking water from sacred mound springs to supply BHP's Olympic Dam Mine, which is located on sacred Kukatha country. The next segment we'll be hearing is from Izzy Brown from outside Wellfield A and First Nations activists shedding light on the issue. Stay tuned.
Here we are at Borefield A. This is the pump station for Olympic Dam, Roxby Downs uranium mine. This borefield has been pumping over 40 million litres of water a day out of the Great Artesian Basin. This borefield is located on Arabana country, and the effect that water, that extraction of the water has, is devastating to the mound springs. The mound springs are sacred sites to the Arabana people. They've been fighting since the start of Roxby to protect this country and protect this water. As Uncle Ronnie said, water's more precious than gold. More precious than uranium or any other thing they could be digging out of the ground. So down the road here in Kukatha country is Olympic Dam. All the water that is being pumped out from this borefield is being sent down to that mine to process the uranium and the copper and the gold. After shame. That it becomes toxic sludge.
Shame.
Huge tailing dams of radioactive material that can last over 250,000 years. It's a legacy that will affect many generations to come. Uncle Kev always said, you've got to start with the water. Without this water, that mine can't operate. This borefield was supposed to be shutting down, and it was just a week or two ago that Roxby changed the Indenture Act with very minimal public consultation. This borefield was supposed to be shut down, and they were supposed to be moving over to water in Wayala from a desalination plant. But with a little bit of trickery and very little consultation, they've managed to extend the life of this borefield for maybe up to another 50 years. The damage that this borefield has already caused is exponential. The effect on the mound springs, the sacred sites of the Arabana people, has been massive. this borefield was supposed to be shut. This borefield was supposed to close down, but Roxby has continued to extract water and will keep continuing. So we're here today to let Roxby know, Olympic Dam know, BHP know, that this borefield is not welcome here on this country, and this destruction has to stop. Stop taking sacred water. This water takes millions of years to get here, and they're sucking it out and using it to create poison. Poison that is used in weapons that will become nuclear waste, that is used in depleted uranium tank shells from Ukraine to Gaza, to Kosovo and Iraq.
Shame!
They've already seen the effect that this uranium has had on the deformed children being born in places where they've used this material. The legacy of the uranium that is dug up from that country down there with the use of this water from this country right here is going to affect generations for thousands and thousands of years. That's why we've got to leave it in the ground, stop pulling out the water, and shut it down.
Shut it down!
Shut it down!
Water is precious to our people. The oppression that this colony has put on us is taking away our culture, taking away our lands, taking away our precious water. You know, these parts, they was experimenting. Maralinga, we was hearing stories down in Port Augusta and the sad stories that's coming out of there. And depression is still continuing with the poisoning of our waters, the Arabana people waters. Just like Lang Hancock over there, Gina Rana's father. They poison our water holes so that when we go there and drink, we become sterile. That's what they want to do to help. That's what they've done to our people over there. That's why I stand with people here to fight for water, because water is, like Brother Ockle said, it's more valuable than any of these minerals than put in the ground, because water will get us through. With no water, no good for everything, for all country.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. We'll be right back.
darkness world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Being a 3CR subscriber is vitally important to keeping us community controlled, grassroots and on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Every 3CR show is a progressive voice that enriches and informs our communities.
From gardening and music to current affairs and First Nations voices, we broadcast expert community knowledge, offering perspectives beyond the mainstream media.
Subscribe today to be part of community-owned and community-controlled media.
Show your solidarity. Subscribe.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 9419 8377.
About the dispossession, I'm pent up with aggression bigger than your comprehension. Bloodline stretches right back to that Mali, brah. And you got points, but they ain't even valid, can't. I go to war every day, my black is uniform. You say I'm fair skinned, I say you're too gone. I got these features from my matriarchs, they skin dark. And you ain't even know shit about it being hard. They used to beat them and then rape them, then they took they kids. Go on, tell me why I ain't got trauma in this life I live. I see my brothers get ripped by the hands of white pigs. I even went on a trip, but I came back from it. Salute the matriarchy, you ain't fucking with this. Salute to all my titters who is handling biz. We ain't backing down and no patriarchy.
patriarchal shit. We come from strong bloodlines, we was raised to quit. Bow down. Hey, bow down. Hey, bow down. Hey, they used to look down on me, look who's looking up now. Bow down. Hey, bow down. To look down on us, look who's looking up now. Bow down. Titta came to do what she came to do, son. No pity for this cat, stays a nuisance. You ain't fucking with this black fella movement. If you think he really is, keep it moving. Boogie down with my mob, I keep it groovy. If you got me in a grip, you gon' lose me. I ain't sorry for the way that music moved me. Sorry, not sorry, baby, I am ruthless. You wanna get something straight with me? I walked the hard road when no one was there for me. I picked myself up, I got a lot of strength in me. And that's real talk, you should be fucking scared of me. Yeah, I'm all up on my grind, ain't no stopping my flow. I got that marker in my bones and it's calling me home. Just wait a little bit, then this titter be gone. But I got the presses on my plate and I got my feet on. I put my feet on them. I'll stomp on the PM, I give a fuck about a government. My people don't govern, I don't follow white law, only yellow wire. And that's me, bro, I'm Buckin' G, I love who I be. Bow down. Hey, bow down. Hey, bow down. Hey, they used to look down on me, look who's looking up now. Bow down. Hey, bow down. To look down on us, look who's looking up now. Bow down. My totem eagle song fly as can be. Ay, well for my people rep my M.O.B. Ay, so when they gonna send all my people free? No justice, no peace. Ah, fuck the police. Bow down.
You're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show on 3CR. That was Bow Down by Barker. And before that was, of course, War Pigs by Black Sabbath. Before that, we were just listening to activists speaking outside Borefield A on speaking on the impact BHP's Olympic Dam mine has on the sacred mound springs on Arabana country. After visiting Borefield A, the Art of Resistance tour then visited BHP's Olympic Dam mine, which is located in a town called Roxby Downs. Up next, we're going to be hearing from activists that were protesting outside the gates.
Do you want to describe what's happening at the moment and where we are?
We're here out the front of the Olympic Dam uranium mine, and we're occupying the road, and there's a big line of utes and trucks that we're blocking in front of the gate. We're here having a dance party. We've got tradies and clowns and zombies, and we're here to shut it down.
Yeah, do you want to paint a picture for listeners?
We're taking action where we always take action, right at the gates. They shut the gates, of course. So we've got crew really brightly dressed, and now we've got two cop cars. Oh, yeah, we've got a big line of we're holding up trucks and cars from going into the mine, and now we've got two police cars have come. But everyone's having a good time dancing.
What do you reckon the workers feel about it?
Probably good. I mean, why not? They don't have to rush to work. They'll still get paid. Nah, just a nuisance to the cops, that's all.
Our sovereignty has never ceded on this land. As soon as the day came, they put invasion, they invaded our lands. And then they go and bomb our people up in Maralinga. How dare these people? And then they tell us to get a real job or get a job. They are gonna kill everyone. They done that to us. Now they're gonna do it to everyone, including overseas.
This is Margie. We've been here before, but we're at the gates to the Olympic Dam mine. It's a really important area. Roxby is the source. It's the source of uranium. It's going into depleted weapons. It's going to... This is the source. This is the scene of the crime. And Kevin, my late partner, we've done a lot of actions here. We've done a lot of actions. We've done really peaceful ones where we've had mandalas of flowers. We've done die-ins. Done a lot of actions here. And we're back.
You want to tell me a bit more about the history of the resistance of this mine here?
This mine is on Kukatha land, and it's they're digging into the belly of the lizard, the kota, which is sacred to the Kukatha people. Kevin was concerned about it because they're taking water from his Mount Springs, which is 200 k's away, but they're pumping 42 million litres a day just to clean the uranium. Now they're going on about, it's all about copper now. They've got four mines. They've just passed a new amendment to the indenture bill, which gives them further use of the water. So they're all on about copper, 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 but everyone knows uranium comes up with the copper ore. It's all about the uranium, and that's what we want. Leave it in the ground. That's what we're on about.
And where is the uranium going from this mine?
Oh, well, we need to do an update on that. When Kevin was alive, it was to nine different countries. Canada, America, one, Japan. I can't name them right now, but he used to have a little mini flag of each country, and any time he did actions, he would apologise to those countries for not being able to stop the uranium leaving Australia.
Is the uranium that's coming from here impacting the genocide in Palestine?
Oh, yeah. It's making the weapons. Yeah. Definitely. So this is about, that's why we're going to sign here. BHP is complicit with genocide. It's not just Palestine, it's everywhere. The genocide of all the little babies, unborn babies here as well. It's all over the world. This is the source. This is the most uranium in the world. And they're going deeper now. And now they've got four mines going. Well, Oak Dam will start soon, but there's going to be, because they say it's all about copper in all these mines. But we know it's uranium. They got asked when the Amendment Act went through the other day, it was only the Greens Party, Melanie Selwood asked the question, what percentage of uranium is going to be increased with this copper? And they hummed and hawed, said, oh, about 1%. So we don't know what a percent, but any uranium is no good.
BHP is in charge of the government. Like, it's not the government over BHP. The Amendment Act that just went through, it was only BHP talking to the government about what the amendments... The bill should not have... It still had 10 years to go. But because BHP has now got four mines in the making, the indenture then only covered Olympic Dam, and so they needed to make these amendments. But they didn't have to, but then they've... Yeah, but the talks, the committee, the government committee only consulted BHP and the government, and they called for submissions. We only had 2 days to write a submission. And we tried to rush. They actually got 22 really good submissions, but the committee didn't even look at them because they'd already made a decision that they're going to go, BHP wanted it to go ahead.
Yeah.
And it was for the state, you know, and they're all about copper, copper, copper. And it was only the Greens that questioned. Only the Greens. But it went through, like, submissions finished on the Monday. It was read in Parliament on the Tuesday. It went through on the Wednesday. It was that quick. This Malinauskas government is just rushing through bills.
You're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show. We were just hearing activists from outside the gates of BHP's Olympic Dam mine in Roxby Downs, which was on the 7th of July. Activists went to the largest uranium deposit, the BHP Olympic Dam mine, with the intention of preventing workers from entering the mine. Where the uranium goes from the Olympic Dam mine is not public knowledge. People have speculated where it's sent to, but the uranium goes into a pool and it is hard to trace. At the end of the clip, I was speaking with Margie Gilchrist. She is an activist who has been protesting against this mine for decades alongside her late partner, Uncle Kevin Buzzacott. We're going to finish off the show with two segments from one of the panels from the Close Pine Gap Convergence. This panel was about colonization and imperialism struggles here and abroad. In this segment, we hear from First Nations Professor Catherine Gilby. Stay tuned.
Hello, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you all. My name is Farah. I'm here as the facilitator of this amazing discussion that we are going to have today. I would like to begin with acknowledging the traditional owners of our Inda country, and would like to pay my respects to all the elders, past, present, and emerging. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for letting us converge on this land, and thank you for all the support that the Ainda people have shown us and welcomed us. I would like to begin by a short introduction of all the panelists. So we have here Rima Naji. Rima is a Palestinian activist, justice for Palestine, and Magajan, who has played a leading role in organizing against Israel's genocide against the people of Palestine. She's a member of the Australia-Palestine Advocacy Network board and a committed unionist and social justice campaigner. Please welcome Rima. Thanks for being here, Rima. Next is Ahmed. A lot of you would already know Ahmed. Ahmed is an artist, writer, and community worker whose practice spans film, photography, critical writing, and African drumming. And he was born in Sudan and has lived in Mbantwa for 12 years. And Adam's central concerns are the conditions under which certain lives are rendered disposable and what forms of knowledge and resistance survive at the margins. Please welcome Ahmed. Thanks for being here, Ahmed. Thanks for joining us. Looking forward to the discussion. And last but never the least, Professor Catherine Gilby. As everyone knows, Catherine is an Alwara Ali with close kinship and family ties across Central Australia. Catherine is an experienced academic and researcher, specialist in First Nations knowledge, inclusive education, and critical race theories. So please welcome Catherine. Thanks so much for being here, Catherine. And I'll hand over the rest to Catherine for now.
Hello, everyone. What a... I've got a busted up face, that's why I'm wearing the mask. It's not because I'm ashamed of what I'm going to say. I'll probably take it off in a minute and get annoyed. It's my great honour to be able to walk and talk on Central Orinda country, to be able to earn my livelihood on Central Orinda country. I want to thank Felicity for that really warm, see how generous Orinda people are? For that really warm welcome and that smoking, just to put us all in this right place so that this country knows us and we make ourselves right by participating like that. I'm just going to do a little short kind of opening statement. Now, I promise myself I'm not going to fire up too early. So I see it's already annoying me, but I'll just take that. I got too exuberant with the grandchildren. Anyway, I promise myself I'm not going to fire up early, so this is going to be a quiet and slow, which is unusual for me a little bit. We must not forget that Aboriginal people know what it is to have the military roll in on them. And as we pontificate on the US using the National Guard in American cities and what's happening in the rest of the world, we have absolutely no position of moral superiority. The Australian government sent the Australian Army into Australian Aboriginal communities in the Northern Territory. In the NTER, otherwise known as the intervention. So much time has passed and we think the restrictions put in place with the intervention and then with stronger futures, how dare they call it stronger futures, that we forget that it's not normal, that it's not normal what happens here in the Northern Territory. It doesn't happen in the rest of the country. That armed soldiers were sent into communities, that people's homelands and homes, they were sent in initially to do really invasive sexual health checks on children as young as six. Thank God they saw that was stopped in court. So that didn't happen, but that was the intention, and that certainly is what they were saying was going to happen. And the fear that is associated with that. People fled, went out bush. There was a real feeling that that there was going to be a mass removal of children again. And that happened later. But I want to kind of frame it. Barb and I are going to do a session on the intervention later, so I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I want to talk about how this narrative was shaped. There were really quiet whispers. We were like, surely they can't do this. Surely this can't happen. They can't repeal the one protections that we had in place in terms of the permit systems. They can't really send the army in. And in the session later on, I'm going to talk about all of the resistance that happened, the strength that Aboriginal communities showed in the Northern Territory. But for now, all right, they can't just do this, but they could and they did. The RDA, the Racial Discrimination Act, is suspended and the unthinkable happens. And we see portrayals of our communities broadcasted in the East Coast on ABC with pixelated faces. Apparent whistleblowers talking about rivers of grog and pedophile rings, but it was all lies. It was designed to make people outside of the Northern Territory tolerate the intolerable. To say to themselves around dinner tables that I had no idea it was so bad up there. And it was all a hoodwinking exercise and these slow increments that creep up on us so slowly that we can't see them or the bigger picture. And that narrative serves a purpose. That all text, spoken and written, has a purpose. And the purpose of that narrative was to dehumanise Aboriginal people in the Northern Territory. To have the conversations easily had in the East Coast, hang on, I didn't know it was so bad, and it's okay because they're not me and I'm not them. And it just makes it so much easier to be able to tolerate the intolerable. Now what happens with children... Oh, God, all right. So now what happens with children? There are no children in the Northern Territory who haven't lived under the intervention, who haven't seen their parents humiliated at bottle shops, who haven't seen all of the really discriminatory practices put in place, because it's been over 18 years. There's no child that's born that hasn't been born under this really brutal, restrictive regime. So now they come for the children. Now the children are the problem. Now they're camped outside the courthouse lawns and there's seven and there's nine and there's another new wave of people telling lies about children, about the Botox nurse who just found her 2 minutes of fame, really making horrible accusations about children. I fell asleep on my couch one day and I woke up and I had YouTube playing and Yanis Varoufakis was talking on Mehdi Hasan. And I woke up just as this question was being asked of him. Why are so many of the outlet-owning tech lords like Musk, Bezos and Zuckerberg so invested in anti-Palestinian, pro-Israel speech? And this is what he said in response to that. Well, if you look at the people like Musk and Thiel and Katz and others, just look at their roots. They come from the white supremacist South African apartheid regime. There's nothing new there. But it's not just them. If you think, what did the British do when they approached the southeastern coast of Australia in 1788 and they looked at that large continent of Australia where there were about 6 million natives living and they declared it a terra nullius, a land without a people? That's what it means, an empty land. And they said, okay, it's ours. And that's the first step to genocide. And then he goes on to list all of the other countries that have done this, the multiple countries, and, you know, the French, the Germans. And then he says, so in all the historical truth, there is a very close coalescence between the mindset of the Europeans, the United States, all settler colonials. And you see, when they hear you and me talk about equal political rights, they get really scared because for them, equality is the most potent and threatening word in the English language. Why? Because they know that they live on stolen land. And they know that they will have to reconcile that on some level. So that's why there is no, this has to stop. Because that would mean an admission that others are just as guilty. That was the first time I'd heard an international commentator draw direct lines, and certainly we've been doing it internally. And the pain of the referendum still sits large, but we ignore what it is to acknowledge the power of terra nullius in our lives. A land without a people, empty land that ignores the humanity, the actual humanity of Aboriginal people, and how that plays out today. And that the first step to genocide is to deny the humanity of a people so that when inhumane acts happen to them, we, the rest of the country, get to remove ourselves indirectly from the violation of it. It is by design, and we are fed a narrative that allows us to tolerate the intolerable. And then we get to a place where 100% of the children locked up in Dondale are Aboriginal, so we build more prisons. Then we get to a place which is unconscionable, that 10-year-olds can be held criminally responsible for their actions and locked up. And we get to an intolerable place of children, women, men, journalists, academics, poets, musicians, everybody in Gaza is killed. And I'm reminded of the book One Day Everyone Will Have Been Against This by Omar El-Arkad. I'm going to skip this paragraph and we'll come back in the questioning. I just wanted to say, to end the opening statement and throw it open. It's like I'm not going to fire up early. I will later. So finally, nothing, including compassion, is absolutist. We can recognise the humanity, pain and suffering of one group of people without having to deny another's. And I can't get past what is happening to the Palestinian people and the people of Sudan, being removed from their lands, rounded up and put into centralised, concentrated spaces where complete control is exerted and there is no freedom of movement, no autonomy, no recognition of their rights and responsibilities as a people. And I think I know that story from this country. But the level of cruelty that's happening right now, and I can go back, but I just thought I'd just do that as a bit of an opening statement for this plenary. Welcome, everyone, to Alice Springs.
And that was Professor Catherine Gilby. We're going to finish off the show by continuing from the same panel from the closed Pine Gap Convergence, which was about colonization and imperialism struggles here and abroad. We'll now hear from Rima Naji, Palestinian activist, and she is with Justice for Palestine Mianjin, who has played a leading role in organizing against Israel's genocide and against the people. Playing a leading role in organizing against Israel's genocide against the people of Palestine. She is a member of the Australia-Palestine Advocacy Network Board and a committed unionist and social justice campaigner. Stay tuned.
I'll just add further and just
ask Reema this. So we know that Australia and Israel both are settler colonies with similar foundational ideologies and histories of genocide. Catherine talked about Australia being called Terra Nullius, and then Palestine as was a land without people for a people without land.
That's the first step to genocide.
That's the first step to genocide. And so contemporarily, both entities are part of what Craig Mohiber refers to as UN's settler colonial bloc, the Western Europe and the other group rooted in imperialism, colonialism, and white supremacy, and wielding disproportionate power in the UN. Do you see Australia's status as a settler colony informing its approach to voting on Israel-related resolutions in the UN and its foreign policy more generally?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me here. It's an incredible honor. Thanks for the acknowledgement of country and for the smoking ceremony. I would also like to reiterate that we are meeting on stolen land, and that this acknowledgement comes with a responsibility. We all know that colonization is a point in history. It is continuous, ongoing, and we see it in the incarceration rates. We see it in the deaths in custody. We see it in domestic violence, and we see it over and over again. I think there are two parts of this question. The first one is the imperialism and colonization, and the second one is the UN framing, because I don't want to let the UN off the hook and for them to pretend that they're the good guys and they're doing all that's necessary. So, thank you. So I'm a linguist by trade, and I like to talk about metaphors to help create a mental image that maybe makes the case for imperialism and colonialism here and abroad more memorable. And I'll start with imperialism. Probably the longest historical entrenched image linked to imperialism is the octopus. So from the 1800s onwards, political cartoonists used the image of the octopus to demonstrate what imperialism is. So they'll draw an octopus with its tentacles reaching across the map to different places. And that's exactly what imperialism is. And there's a head, I like to call it the controlled room. And in this controlled room, because of capitalism and neoliberalism that gave sovereignty not just to states, also sovereignty to corporations, they sit there in different rooms. And one of the rooms there, it's a small room, not a big one, sits Australia. Now, colonialism is a little bit of a different story. So if we look at the word itself, colony, it comes from Latin colonus, which means a farmer, a tiller of soil. It is all about, and that's the irony of it, is that the root metaphor of colonialism is actually agricultural. And it can only make sense if the colonizers imagine the land as empty and as uncultivated and needs to be made cultivated and productive. Now, in Arabic, there is a say, كذب الكذب وكذبها, which means that you lie and then you start believing your lies. And that's exactly what the violent colonizers are doing. So they thought that colonialism is the most acceptable and civilized word to describe theft. Theft as a structure. So that octopus is only able to reach out and you know, grab on through that structure, through theft, basically. Now, of course, in this day and age, if there is no analysis of that causation, it's hard for people to see how that structure works. But it's basically, that is the only way that the octopus sustains itself, through theft. Now, you asked me about Australia and its voting history in the UN. I think it's not relevant how they vote in the UN, because the framework of the UN is problematic in the first place. And when we talk about Palestine, I'll just talk about Palestine here, because I'm Palestinian and naturally critical of the role of the UN. So the UN, when it talks about Palestine, comes from a framework that centers the establishment of a Jewish demographic majority in the land of Palestine and treats it as a political necessity rather than a colonial project with fatal consequences. That's a Zionist framing. And Zionism in and of itself is, of course, problematic, and it was recognized in 1975 in the UN, recognized Zionism as a form of racism and racial discrimination. And then Australia lobbied, along with other countries, but Australia led that effort to actually overturn it and ignore that fact, right? But this is a Zionist framing. So anything that comes out of that framework will naturally subjugate Palestinians. So I am very critical of the role of the UN. However, I also believe that we must make the UN meet its potential through us holding our own states to account, because the alternative for us at this stage is Trump's Board of Peace. And by the way, that was endorsed by the UN, so it's no longer a sideshow. It is no longer a sideshow. So we're talking about really dangerous institutions that are fighting for their own survival, not the survival of the people. They're putting institutions ahead of people. And I always insist on the acknowledgement at the start, because it reminds people that we need to put people first, not institutions. I do not care about the survival of institutions. That means nothing for me. In fact, we need to target the head of that octopus. We need to hit the head of that octopus. I don't care about the tentacles. Those are the UN, by the way, one of these tentacles. Pine Gap, one of them. We need to target the head of that octopus. And I think that's enough for me as a starting point.
And that brings us to the end of the show. You've been listening to the Monday Breakfast Show. We were just listening to a panel from the Close Pine Gap Convergence, which was about colonization and imperialism struggles here and abroad. We were just hearing from Rima Naji, and before that we were hearing from Catherine Gilby. Before that, we heard some activists out the front of the BHP's Olympic Dam mine, which is located in a town called Roxby Downs in South Australia, protesting the uranium mine. And before that, we were listening to Izzy Brown and First Nations activists shedding light on the issue of Olympic Dam mine extracting water from sacred mound springs located on Arabunna country. And we started off the show by listening back to the Close Pine Gap protest, which was out the front of Pine Gap. We started the show by hearing Arante Elder Felicity Hayes reading a letter that her and her family wrote to Pine Gap, and we heard their family speaking about what happened after, when they were giving over the letter. You can financially support the Hayes family. They are getting their electricity cut off if they don't reach their $500 electricity bill. You can donate to BSB 065900, and the account number is 108057 61. Stay tuned for Women on the Line.
3CR Breakfast would like to thank the New International Bookshop, Melbourne's radical bookstore and venue, for their financial support of this program. You can find Nibs opposite reception in the Lygon Street wing of Trades Hall Carlton. You can buy books online and keep up to date with upcoming events at nibs.org.au.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.